reading to you from the 12th chapter of Matthew, and with the 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Now, folks, tonight, this is a message I preached a long time ago, and we were living in Parker, and the phone number is going to be wrong. My phone number is 303-471-8534. So just remember that. Well, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord, so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for the Word of God, the truth. Lord, people in this world are looking for people they can trust. They're looking for people that they can believe in. And we, Lord, have found that Jesus is that person. He changed my life, and I'll never forget it. Now, Father, you know the spiritual and physical and financial needs of all of our listening friends tonight. I pray, Lord, that this message will encourage people, and it'll put their they'll put their trust in Christ before the broadcast is over. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lift up Jesus. Honor your word. And, precious Lord, save that dear one on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Psalms 91:11. That's just one verse of Scripture. We'll have a couple. But for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And then in Acts 12:7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Then in Acts 27:23, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am and whom I am served. And Hebrews 1:14, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Friends, you know, I've preached for 42 years, and I've never really preached a sermon on the subject of angels. Now, I've heard lots of sermons on angels, but I've just never felt a need to do it, but I am tonight. What is an angel? Well, he is a heavenly being created by God. Now, I'll be using lots of scriptures, so if you want to jot them down and take a look at them later, you sure can. We know they are created beings because it tells us in Psalms 148:2, praise he him, all his angels, praise ye him, all of his hosts. If the angels are commanded to praise the Lord, I wonder where that puts us. We who knew sin, corruption, greed, pride, and etc. Well, it isn't easy to praise the Lord when things are not going too good, is it? But let things go the other way for a while. It's a little hard to do, yet he told us to praise him in any situation. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in the heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So it is now established that Almighty God created angels as well as you and I. Angels are not fleshly creatures. They are spiritual. We read in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The Bible tells us that angels are holy. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Well, does the Bible tell us how many angels there are? Well, I read in Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come into Mount Zion, and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an immutable company of angels. There could be millions and millions and millions of angels. I don't know. I just don't know. Now, the Bible tells us that the angels are wise, in 2 Samuel 14:20, to fetch about this form of speech. Hath they servant Joab done these things? And my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. Well, God's angels know what is going on in heaven and also in earth. The Bible tells us that angels are powerful. And I read in Psalms 103:20, bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do this, do commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So we know that angels are powerful, but we also know that they follow the commandments of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I guess angels are a little smarter than we are on earth, because we do not always follow his commandments. Am I right, dear friends? I know I'm right, and you know I'm right. Well, the thing is, what are we supposed to do? We know this, that there are a lot of unhappy Christians today because they really, really don't follow his commandments. You see, they want to have their cake and eat it too. We're all guilty of that. I'm not pointing my finger at you, but we're all guilty of the same thing. Angels, according to the scriptures, are unmarried. And I read in Matthew 22:30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are as angels of God in heaven. So that pretty well takes care of that. We being human sometimes have a hard time understanding that there will be no marriages in heaven. But the one thing that we can be sure of, it is a far better place than earth. You see, on earth we have heartaches, we have disappointments, we suffer humiliation, we all must die someday, but not in heaven. There's not going to be no more tears, no more heartaches. God shall wipe away all their tears. Doesn't that kind of make you homesick? It certainly does. Well, did you know angels possess emotions? In Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, friends, listen to me. Listen to me. The greatest joy God ever gave me in my life, beside my own personal salvation experiences, when I can sit down with a sinner and tell him about Christ and introduce him to Jesus. You know, friends, there's a man back that works for Billy Graham Films, and he's been contacting me 3 or 4 or 5 times. He wants me to come back and meet him in Chicago, and so him and I can do a testimony together on Moody Radio, and he wants to be on my program where they interview me on TV. I hope the Lord works this out so we can do it. But he has read my book, Hey James, Just One More Story. And he says, Cecil, honest, and I'm not saying this to make you feel a big-headed, but he said, that's one of the better books I've ever read, because you have run into contact with people from all walks of life and introduced people from Christ, for the rich down to the poor. I said, well, you know, that's not just for Cecil, people like Cecil Moe. That's for everybody. Every one of us has the privilege, and every one of us can have the same holy boldness if we will just ask the Lord for it. I pray every morning, Lord, give me holy boldness. Give me precious souls from a higher. Help me, Lord, to be a soul winner. Every time you and I introduce a soul to Christ, the Bible teaches that the angels surrounding the throne are rejoicing. Oh, isn't that beautiful? They are happy when a person gets saved. I'll bet there'd be quite a celebration in heaven when I got saved. Not that I was anything special, but the angels knew some of the bars in Seattle would have a hard time making it, because they knew God was going to deliver me from the curse of alcohol. I praise his holy name. Listen, alcoholic friend of mine, listen to me. You're battling a battle. You're trying to quit drinking on your own. You've even prayed to quit drinking, but listen. Listen, dear friend. If you really repent of your sins and you cry out to God and ask him to forgive you and save you, he can deliver you from the curse of alcohol. He certainly did me, and I attest to that and have been for the past 44 years. And yet angels are not perfect. What? In Job 4:18, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Nor are there any of us perfect. Some teach sinless perfection. I guess I haven't been in the right place at the right time. Basically, the only perfect Christian I know is gone to heaven, and they're not here on earth. All right, now that we know a little about angels, how do they come into my life and your life? Well, let's look quickly at the ministry of the angels toward believers in Christ. Now, it says in the Genesis 24, the angel of the Lord is to guide us. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and that sware unto me, saying unto thee, thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So the angel of the Lord guides people. Genesis 24:40, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife from my son of my kindred and of my father's house. God even sends angels to guide us into things that he wants for our lives. You don't believe that, huh? Well, okay, you don't have to believe it, but it's in God's holy, unerring word. The angel of the Lord will even tell you where to spend your vacation if you let him guide you. The angel of the Lord is a provider. I read in 1 Kings 19:5-8, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Elijah learned a lot from the ministering angel of the Lord. Let me tell you about Mike Martin. Now, you may have heard of Mike Martin, but I tell you, this is a most outstanding, fantastic story. And it, God, this is the man that established a kindergarten school in North Seattle. Mike felt like the Lord had told him to take option on some land to start a school and a radio ministry in Seattle. Now, this particular Sunday, they went to church as usual, and he was preaching, and as they had absolutely nothing in their house to eat, absolutely nothing in the house. When they got home from church, his wife went in the living room to sit down. Mike said, When are you going to set the table? She said, For what? We don't have anything to put on the plates. He said, Mother, set the table. And so she went in and set the table. And then they called his son and the wife to the table. The three sat down. And Mike thanked the Lord for the food that he was going to provide for them. Before he finished his prayer, the doorbell rung. His wife answered the door, and there stood a man and his wife who were members of their church. They were called suddenly out of town to a sick relative, so they brought their entire meal over to Mike Martin and his family. God hasn't changed from Elijah's day until this day. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise his name. Well, friends, I told you this story again. I'll tell it to you again. But when we were living in Bellingham, Washington, I was associate pastor of a church. They couldn't afford to pay me a dime because they were broke. I couldn't get a job because I didn't know how to, I wasn't a commercial fisherman, and I didn't know nothing about logging. And all we had was about 4 cups of white navy beans, and I put them on the stove with an old wilted carrot and an old beat-up potato, put it on low and waited for it to cook for all night long. And the next morning, there was a knock on our door, and a man stood there with a Safeway sack, two loaves of bread sticking out of it. And I thanked him very much, walked back in the house, took the loaves out of bread, two loaves of bread out. There was a ham and a $20 bill. Praise his name. Now, we saw that happen in our lives, and I could tell you many more, but that wouldn't be what we're here for. Angels protect us. In Psalms 34:7, and the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. You have evil habits. You're doing things that doesn't not please God. The angel of the Lord will deliver those who love God and fear him. Now, here's the angel's direct activities, Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in desert. Hey, Philip was having a great revival in Jerusalem. But all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord said, I've got somebody I want you to meet. And so he immediately left, and he went down there, and he saw this Enoch riding in this chariot. And he was reading from the scriptures, and Philip asked him if he understood what it meant. He said, no one's ever sat down and talked to me about it. So Philip got up in the chariot and preached the gospel, and pretty soon the Ethiopian believed, and he said, well, where can I get baptized? He said, well, if we find enough water, we will. So they did. He baptized this Enoch, and the Spirit of God whisked him away. You see, those things don't happen. They sure do. The angel of the Lord has power to comfort you. Acts 27:23-24. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I have served, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Well, I remember the day the doctors discovered I had a lung tumor. I got on my knees and confessed to the Lord that I was frightened. The angel of the Lord also spoke to my heart, and it was like this, "Fear not, Cecil, I am with thee." Oh, friends, what a comfort. Well, the doctor said I wouldn't live, but he didn't know what he was talking about. God had intended for me to be here tonight on this radio broadcast, which I'm so thankful for. To the unbeliever, the angel of the Lord also speaks. They told people of their destruction, told them of a curse, a pestilence, sudden death, persecution. Now here's what the angel of the Lord did. He announced Jesus' conception. The angel of the Lord told of Jesus' birth. And the angel of the Lord proclaimed his resurrection. The angel of the Lord accompanied him to heaven. Yes, there's much that can be said about the angel of the Lord, and they are real. One thing an angel of the Lord can't do, and that's how to tell a person how to be saved. God left that up to you and me. Let me ask you, are you doing that now? Are you telling your friends and your loved ones about Christ? The other day, you know, I talked to a friend of mine who was a Christian. Him and his wife were down to Acapulco with it. His wife's still not in too good a shape, but she's sure better than she was. And he said, you know, Cease, my daddy, who's an alcoholic, he's 64. They've given him 6 months to live. I said, you know, remember when I talked to you about that? And I said, you've got to talk to your dad about the Lord. He said, Cecil, I have talked to my dad about the Lord, but he won't listen. All right, I said, then I'm going to have to call him and talk to him, because both of us were alcoholics. I can understand what he's going through, and I'm sure I can. He said, well, I would appreciate that. Now, friends, you pray for me that when I get a chance to call this man, that I won't talk to him about how the evils of alcohol, or talk to him about coming and join a church, or getting baptized, or something like that. Tom Baird told me that my greatest need that morning at 3 a.m. was Christ. He informed me, according to the scriptures, that I was a sinner and I'd come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. He assured me that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, that he loved me. And that's where him and I had a parting of the ways. I said, preacher, there's no way that you'll ever convince me that God Almighty loves me, an old drunk. But you know what? I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit just kept drugging at my heart, tugging at my old heart. Oh, I wanted to believe that preacher. I wanted to believe him so bad. Well, I'm sure the ministering angels of the Lord had helped me stay there. And then we read about Nicodemus. Of course, I didn't understand how he could be born again. But the Holy Spirit of God kept tugging at my heart and kept tugging at my heart. And you know, friends, I don't know if you believe this or not, but I really felt in my heart that was the last opportunity I was ever going to get to accept Jesus. I really honestly felt if I didn't accept Christ, I would die and go to hell. I really believed that. So finally I said, well, preacher, if I ask the Lord to forgive me and save me, would he give me back my wife and kids? He said, oh, Cecil, I can't promise you that. Well, I said, will he give me back my business? He said, I can't promise you that. Well, I said, preacher, what can you promise me? He said, I'll promise you on the authority of Almighty God, if you repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart and save you, that he will deliver you from the curse of alcohol and he'll make a man out of you. And when he said that, I thought, oh, if only my kids loved me, if only my wife loved me, I loved them. I had a dumb way of showing it. But I wanted to be a man. And so without knowing any theology, I knelt there on my knees and I said, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Now I'm telling you, friends, God did just that. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. I came home. I begged. I groveled. I cried. I asked my wife for one more chance. And I'll tell you, the ministering angels of God must have convinced her that I really meant business. Well, we'll soon be celebrating our 55th wedding anniversary, all because of a wonderful Savior. The only reason that I'm on this earth right now is to tell others about Christ. It isn't my fancy preaching that does it. It's my sincerity because, friends, I know what the Lord did for me. And what He did for me, He can do for you. If you got a husband who's an alcoholic or a wife, you want to call me and talk to me about it, I'll be more than happy to talk to them on the phone. I really mean that. And I'd come to your house and talk to them too, if that's necessary. Well, friends, listen. If you're not a Christian tonight, and God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and the angel of the Lord is tugging at your heart, would you bow your head with me right now and ask Christ to come into your life and to save you? Here's a prayer, and I don't want you to pray if you don't mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for all the things I've ever done to you and to my loved ones and my friends. Best way I know how, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-840-2992. 303-840-2992. I'll not call your home. I'll not embarrass you. I will not sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't do that. I don't care where you go to church, beloved. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Don't be mad at me because I care. Because Jesus cared more than anybody. He died on the cross of Calvary for you. Okay, my phone number 303-840-2992. I'm waiting for your call.